Hi, I'm Sima Shapiro, the host of the new Contemporary Lifestyle Radio Show for Women Over 40, featuring everything about your health, wealth, children, happiness, and anything else of interest to you, the listener. Please stay tuned. Hi and welcome. I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. Today we'll be talking with two women about the art of happiness. Is it learned or developed? Where is it when we most need it? Deborah Beauvais is the founder-owner of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, a syndicated, holistic, Boston-based internet radio station created out of love with a vision to consciously serve humanity. Deborah is an intuitive healer, facilitator of light as a reconnective healing, and the reconnection practitioner trained by Dr. Eric Pearl. Deborah is also the founder of Kids for Love Project, an enrichment program for schools and wellness centers, and Kids for Love Project radio shows celebrating kids making a difference. Audrey Carlson is a practicing dental hygienist who brings an integrative approach to her patients. With a master's degree in integrative health and healing and certification in positive psychology from the Whole Being Institute, her personal approach is that we all have a choice to be happy. Audrey launched a local chapter of the Worldwide Happiness Club in May 2014. Despite personal adversity, Audrey believes fully that choosing to live life with gratitude paves the way for authentic happiness. She lives with her husband of 38 years and her two standard poodles, and is also blessed with a daughter, son-in-law, and two grandchildren. So welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before I ask each of you why you chose this path, what the heck is this elusive thing, happiness? Where did it come from, Audrey?
Where does this elusive happiness come from? Well, it's the pursuit of happiness that we all are yearning for and searching for, and it's right within us all. It's right there. It's just a choice. And for many people, happiness comes in many flavors. And for some people, happiness is a place of peace. There are many people that have come into my life that I've grown to know who are Holocaust survivors, who are people who have had their own personal Holocaust, who have lost everyone they've ever loved. And for them, that place of peace is indeed their happiness. For me, it's a little bit of everything. It is that place of peace, and it is also happiness at many levels. And what can I say? It's so interesting how elementary it should be, and yet it seems so difficult for so many people. Yet, we're all on that journey, that search for happiness, and it's really right there. It's not as difficult as it could be or should be for a lot of people. And for me, it really starts out with the elementary beginning of gratitude. When you look at what you already have, it paves the way for happiness for me.
And Deborah, do you concur or do you have a different take on it?
Well, I agree with every word that Audrey has shared. And we're just designed, the human is designed to struggle through life, to find that happiness, to find that love, and it's all within us. I believe that we start in life as small babies growing, and we're in the glow, we're in the love, we have the light, we're tuned in to the higher intelligence, and then we lose that. Actually on purpose so that we can journey through life to find what we already know. And it's a struggle for many. And yet when you find in a place that you're just tired of being in a struggle, you're tired of whining and complaining or being the victim, as I have in my life, then you start to say, okay, what can I do that differently? How can I feel happiness? And you go within, you start healing all kinds of things that are within all of us, belief systems, judgments, everything that we carry around. And once we start lifting and tuning in to who we are, we can grasp that true happiness, that true love. And once you feel a flicker of that, then you're on your way and you continue to heal and continue to grow your soul. And that's really happiness in a nutshell.
Can you briefly both tell me why your journey has led you to this place? There are plenty of people who try to be happy but don't make it a pursuit. Deborah, why did you choose to take this on full force?
just as mentioned, I was the victim all those years, and I got tired of it. I got tired of me the way I was. And once again, you start to heal. I mean, I had migraines every day, and I don't have migraines any longer, but I worked at it. And what happens is when you feel that flicker of love that's within each of us, because we are love, then it feels so glorious. It's really a place where it's hard to articulate the words. But when you feel that lightness, the tingles and all, you want more. You want to feel that glorious feeling again. So you work hard at doing that. And, you know, when we have such close people that we love so dearly cross over to the other side, that instills us to want to give, to want to do better. And it goes from there.
Audrey, do you care to share a little bit about your personal journey as to why you're pursuing happiness yourself?
Of course. First, let me say that I believe, in my opinion, that we all innately have a genetic makeup. And some people have a happy gene, and some people have to work at creating a new learned behavior and how to make those choices. I was blessed and born with positivity, and there's a thread, I'm very blessed with that thread of innate happiness, I guess you could say, which is resilience and tenacity. So that being said, nothing can prepare you in life for losing a child. And the pain is so great that you can't bear it, because it's unimaginable. So the choice is either to live with that intense pain where you literally can't breathe, can't function, and make the choice of either living in the depths of despair or understanding that you don't get over anything. Rather, you go through. You go through grief, and you understand that it transforms you. We had to make a decision as a family, individually and collectively, how we were going to get through. And when I made the choice, the happiness choice, it wasn't happiness at that time. Believe me, I couldn't even wrap my head around that word. All I wanted to do was find a place of peace so the pain could go away. And I had to trust the process that there was a way to get through this, and that I would breathe again, and I would laugh again, and I would love again. And all the while, to bring a little bit of spirituality into this, I believe in God. I was one of those fortunate ones that never blamed God for what happened. So I had a strong sense of faith and trusted that I would find my way, and just trusted the fact that one day I would laugh again and I would be okay. I didn't know what that new okay or that new normal would be. All I knew was that I couldn't stay where I was. And it's a process. It takes a long, long time. And you come to learn that you can't skip over any steps. But all you know is your hope is to find that happiness, find that place, how to live through love, because nothing trumps love.
Well, let me ask you a question then.
Beautifully said.
Tell me a little bit about the tips or steps you have used to try to attain happiness. Audrey.
Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting, because one of the first people that came into my life was Rabbi Okolika. I am Jewish. However, I embrace all religions and have come to understand they all come down to one thing. It's all the same. So I invited everyone in from every religious modality there is on the face of the earth for answers to that invisible, intangible world called the spirit world. This Rabbi Okolika, who is in his early hundreds now, came to me. He came to me as a Holocaust survivor himself. And very much like Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, he said he was the sole survivor. And he asked God, why am I here? What do you want from me? What's my meaning? What's my purpose? He came to me and he wrapped his giant baseball hands around my hands. And he said to me, close your eyes and breathe in. He basically taught me how to do a breathing exercise, starting with breathing in what you need and breathing out what you need to get rid of, what you need to release. He taught me the role of meditation before you even get out of bed in the morning. He taught me how to look at your life with gratitude and look at what you do have rather than what you don't have. He taught me how to breathe in what I need to the count of six and breathe out what I need to get rid of to the count of six. And you start your day out with gratitude. And if you look at what you do have, it paves the way for happiness.
And Deborah, what are some of the tips you use?
Quite similar to that. Everyone can find their own unique way. Gratitude is huge, and I usually sit sometimes not more than 10 minutes every morning. And once you cultivate the meditation, you can do 5-minute little meditations throughout the day when you may be overwhelmed. And it's just really stopping and sitting quietly and really looking around you, wherever you are, whether it's outside, inside, and see what's in front of you. See it, because so many times we go through the day in a blur, focusing on what needs to be done. And when you just slow down and sit there, I usually put my palms up, connect with God, the light, creator. And when I first started this some years back, I started to get, at first nothing happened, and then I started getting little tingles in my toes. And the more I did, the more the tingles would move right up through my whole body. And you sit there and you listen. You just listen and eliminate all thoughts. And it takes, you know, it takes some work to get to that place of eliminating thoughts. But you just sit, and in that, and you arch your back, breathe in deeply, and you just feel the lightness all around you and within you, and that's what gets you started. And I can do that in a few minutes and get re-energized. The more you do it, the faster it comes.
I can envision that there are some listeners who are rolling their eyes and somehow either saying that they may not believe in God, so what does this have to do with God anyway? Or that this is ridiculous, that the life that you're dealt is the life that you stay with, and that some people even choose to wallow in unhappiness. So, Deborah, what would you say to them?
As Audrey had said earlier, we all have it. We have the free will of choice, and a lot of times, and I've been there, so I'm speaking from experience, when you're in that struggle, when you're in that heaviness, you look for other things to feed into it so it expands. And you, for some, there's a piece of the human that enjoys that. And it sounds weird to say enjoy, but when you're in it, you thrive on it. But then it gets old. And for the people that may question, there's a higher intelligence, whatever you want to call it. As Audrey said, it's all the same. And we all experience through synchronicities, different things that happen in everyone's life. It's not by mistake. It is to show us messages. And if you just try and sit quietly every day, even for 5 minutes, it's almost like a game, and you can see when something starts happening, when the tingles. And once you're there, you crave more, because we are love, and we crave that love and light and the glorious feeling.
Audrey,
who doesn't want to be happy? I mean, raise your hand. Is there a human out there that doesn't crave to be happy?
You know, and I'm going to venture a guess to say I think there are those people out there who crave unhappiness, but I absolutely understand where you're coming from.
Well, I think they're stuck in their stuff. And like I said, when you're in there, because I've been there, and I'm sure Audrey's been there as well, when you're in it, you look for things to feed it. But you have to stop and look around. Go outside. See the beauty of the tree, a green grass, a bird chirping. Anything. Nature is the light, and we thrive on that. So if someone was to go outside and sit quietly and look around, I challenge anyone that would not feel something, whether it be a tiny little blip or something larger.
Audrey, what do you think is the greatest impediment to finding happiness?
Well, I'll tell you, I've met some people that choose to be defined by what happened in their life. And when they label themselves as a victim or for whatever happened in their life, they feel there's a tremendous amount of attention that comes to them there, and they wallow in it, and it becomes them, and that's who they are. And they lose sight of the fact that life does exist beyond that, but they have created something else for themselves, and maybe it's for the attention, maybe it's because they don't have the strength or the tools or the support system around them to help them find their way out. But I have met people who have chosen to be defined by what has happened to them, and they are stuck, and it's sad. It's really
sad. But again,
sad.
It is a choice.
Yeah, of course.
It is a choice to wallow in that. And I know people, including myself, that was all of that. But then I just woke up and said, what am I doing? What am I thinking? Mm-hmm. And yet you want to honor everyone exactly where they are. And so it is.
So I'm going to circle back around to this issue of God, because both of you obviously are very spiritual in your approach to life, and both of you sound as if you believe in a God, whatever that definition would be. What about somebody who just doesn't believe in God, who may be an agnostic, for example? Must they believe in God in order to obtain, happiness? Audrey?
That's a hard question to answer, but if I may twist it around a little bit, from my perspective, the people that I have met that do have a belief system are those that will find their way to heal optimal healing. They will find their way easier than those that do not. But in terms of happiness, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question. Deborah, do you?
I think it's embedded in all of us at some level. We have to connect with it. And there are people, I know my mom went through her whole life in struggle, mental health issues, but that generation wasn't able to talk about everything. They shoved it under the rug. And I think it's important to verbalize what the pain is. And that's part of the healing when you verbalize it and lift it. And that happiness does come, I believe, whether you believe in the higher intelligence, God, Buddha, whoever, whatever you believe in or don't, you can cultivate it. And there are people that have had near-death experiences, and all of a sudden, they now know that they're part of something. We are the intelligence ourselves. It's not something just out there. We are it. We're all interconnected.
So I'm guessing that while this may be on an emotional level, there is a physiological component, there is a scientific component. I'm wondering if either or both of you can address other aspects of happiness.
Well, you're pumping out a whole lot more of serotonin, the happy hormones, and who wouldn't want some of those?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
And physiological, I mean, your lifestyle, your exercise level, get out and go for a walk. I have come to understand that all the answers we seek are always from within, but when you're struggling for those answers, you can find them in nature. And by doing so, I think it makes you happy. There's a lot of different modalities from a physiological standpoint, but you can create your own happiness. You can dance. You can listen to music. You can do a million things physiologically. And
Deborah, do you think there's a science to happiness?
I don't know an answer to that, whether it's a yay or a nay. But that's a good thing, I think. It's good to question even our own belief systems. It's good to question and listen to other people and see maybe there's something they can teach us.
So is there a difference, Audrey, between being positive? I mentioned your positive psychology.
Uh-huh.
Is there a difference between being positive and being happy?
There is. Being positive is not looking at life negatively. In other words, you become your words. If you get up in the morning and it's a cloudy day and it's got the forecast of rain and you have a full day of activities, you could easily say, oh man, it's a cloudy, fashtunkin' a yucky day out there. It's going to be a miserable day. Well, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get a cloudy, miserable day.
Right.
However, you know, it's your thought process. It's how you look and how you look at life and what you want it to be. Mm-hmm. And happiness comes out of all of that. They run parallel with each other, but your thought processes in terms of whether you choose to say something negative or find that silver lining.
Deborah, do you think there's a difference between positive psychology, being positive in the morning, as opposed to being happy?
Yes. Much like Audrey has said and shared, is that positive is when you making a choice to feel the positive or to focus on your words, focus on your thoughts. And a lot of times it doesn't last long because you've got the idea, but then after a few times you let it go. Where happiness is you've already arrived to a place where you feel, you're in the feel, you're resonating with happiness. It's part of you now. And from that perspective is how you look at everything.
So let's change direction a little bit and talk about happiness clubs. Audrey, are you telling me that it's important that you join a club in order to be happy?
Of course not. Let me just tell you that I've chosen to launch a happiness club a year and a half ago for a number of reasons. First, we all know what we know, but we all don't necessarily do what we know. These monthly happiness club meetings achieve a number of things. First, it's like pushing that refresh button in your brain to remind you of what you really do need to do to be happy. We all know, but we sometimes need those gentle reminders. And it creates a social aspect of my life where I'm bringing in people on a monthly basis that tell a story of resilience, that tell a story of their tenacity, that tell a story or a book or a path they have chosen. And we're all connected. And it's a way to basically grow together and have something to look forward to on many, many levels. And I'm a lifelong learner. And every month I walk away with something I didn't know. And the more I learn, the more I don't know. And these happiness club meetings provide all of that.
Can you give me some stats about how many happiness clubs there are in the world?
Just oh, my goodness. Deborah may know also, I know there's over 100 of them.
And do you have any idea how many people attend? Do you have any stats?
You know what? I don't know how many people attend because I'm only familiar with some of the Connecticut chapters that basically originated in Fairfield with Lionel Ketchian, who I met through Bernie Siegel. So he started them in Fairfield, and they're Bridgeport, and Shelton, and Clinton, and New York City. They're all over the world. They're great. And they're like little seeds. They continue to grow. Why? People are thirsty and hungry for it. And for some people, that's all they have, is to get out that once a month for the Happiness Club and connect with people. It's great.
Would you believe that the same desires for happiness exist in another country, in another part of the world, just like we have here?
It's universal, yes. Happiness is that one contagion every human being craves for.
Since we're talking to a listener who's predominantly over 40, women struggle with so many issues in midlife. They are the sandwich generation. In a lot of instances, they have multiple family units, multiple generations of children. They struggle with midlife crises, perimenopause. They're struggling with physiological issues, hormonal issues, emotional issues. What does this way of thinking being offered to them? And how might they try to achieve it when there are so many other factors impacting them on a daily basis? Audrey, you had referenced earlier about people for whom circumstances had created a mindset in their lives. But for so many women over 40, it's a kind of ongoing litany of physiological and hormonal and emotional issues that some days probably bowls them right over, or some weeks or some months. So mindful of them, how can they try to utilize this thinking and being if it's so difficult to just cope?
Well, you're right, because life throws hardballs at you, and that one constant in life is change. Nothing will ever stay the same. It's how you adapt, how you respond to, and the choices you make. And our hormones are changed. We're going to all go through grief. We're all going to experience failure and disappointment. We're going to have our hearts ripped out from us, and you have to constantly reinvent yourself, rebirth yourself, and look at what you have and continually make that choice. How do I want to live? Not every day has to be the worst day of your life. Not every day will be easy, but it certainly doesn't have to be the worst day either.
Deborah?
Yes. Well, in the busyness of all of us, Sometimes it's overwhelming where you don't have any time in your mind. But if you can excuse yourself from wherever you are, if you're working, excuse yourself, go into the ladies' room and spend 5-10 minutes with yourself. There's things you can do to soothe yourself. You can put your hand over your left side above your heart and just soothe the little child that's inside and saying, you know, I love you. You're strong. You're wonderful. Do all those types of things. And I think for those of us that are serving, and if you're not doing something specifically in service somewhere, you are serving. Every woman is serving with her children, her in-laws, her parents. Every day we serve in our own way. And so with thinking that, be in gratitude and have compassion for all you're doing, but bring that compassion back to yourself. When you're spending that time, love yourself. Literally hug yourself while you're in the ladies' room. You can go into in the enclosure pod and still do all this and stretch yourself and breathe in deeply and arch your back with arms out, palms up, and that'll revitalize you. And then it strengthens you to continue your day and do whatever is needed. But it's making that choice to break away. And sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we're engrossed in our work and all that we do, and we don't take that moment. But it's an energizer, just like that. 5 minutes.
You know what, Deborah? I have done that. I have hugged myself, and I have found ways to just say, this too shall pass. I'm going to be okay. And I've done the breathing exercises.
Good.
Because I find that when I get upset and I get anxious, we're not breathing. We're just
right, exactly.
Very shallow. And I think your tips are beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Audrey, do you have any quick tips you'd like to leave the listener with today?
Start your day out with gratitude. Look at what you have, not what you don't have. We all have choices to be happy. And look at the blessings. Look at the blessings all around us and just trust the process that life is beautiful and there's nothing that can trump love.
We've been talking today with two women about the art and perhaps the science of happiness, how to find it, court it, and keep it. Deborah Beauvais can be found at www.dreamvision7radio.com. Audrey Carlson at audreybcarlson@cox.net. I want to thank both of you. I think we could have continued this discussion.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. And until next time, I hope you take care.
Ben Michael, WESU General Manager here. How often do you tune in to WESU? Is it programmed into your car radio? Do you listen online? Now, please take a moment to consider why you listen to WESU. Great. Now that we've established that you do listen for a reason, understand that WESU cannot continue to provide this service without your help. Please join us during our pledge drive by logging on to WESUFM.org right now to make a donation on our secure server.
You're listening to WESU Middletown, WESUFM.org.